Mafia Podcast.
Hello, everyone. It is I, the Reverend Godfather. Welcome, all of you new listeners, our old listeners, who we in the past referred to as Goombas. Welcome to a new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. This episode will probably be a short episode, anywhere between 20 minutes to about an hour. If it's less than a half an hour and closer to 20 minutes, I do apologize. I always feel that I am somehow chipping you, our listeners, off by giving you something less than a half an hour. Loads and loads of stuff that I would like to go over, I would like to mention and talk about. I was going to give kind of a classic Electric Eye episode, but there's a lot of new stuff that I did want to talk about, and I didn't want to do that, and I didn't want to do another creepypasta at this time, so thus this solo episode. First things to get out of the way, I'm going to try to get my co-hosts, Zombie Bunny and Big Candy, in studio at the Daily Grind for one last hostful for probably the year. No guarantees. If anything, it might be just Big Candy. Zombie Bunny is a very, very busy girl. I don't want to say girl. She's a very busy woman. And getting stuff ready with her job. And plus, she tends to knit a lot for a lot of gifts. So she does tend to get busy herself. If she doesn't get there, I wish her a very happy new year, Merry Christmas, or happy holidays and New Year. Hope she remains well for the rest of the year, and we get her back into studio sometime in the next couple of months. Yeah, I've been missing to see her. She's a wonderful asset to the show. I'll get to that in a moment. But first off, one of the other things I've been neglecting to give you guys, and that's a thank you to some of those who left not only just 5-star reviews on our iTunes channel, but reviews as well. As I've stated before, the ratings and reviews help us, but they don't help us. I think many years ago, it was a wild belief that if you had a lot of reviews and you were the higher grouping of reviews you had, the better standings in the iTunes algorithms, that your show would be higher up in the list. But over the years, with the growth of podcasts, that has no longer been the case. But they do help in a way that if a new listener does stumble across our show, they do help give a generalized aspect of how the show is. We have a total of 6 5-star reviews. Out of the 6, 5 people left reviews over the past couple of months, over the year or so. We had a couple more than the 6, but there was no one really knows in some of the circles that I hang out with online and on Facebook. We don't know if it's an aspect of people being trolls, or iTunes seeing all these people made comments on shows all on the same day, pull the reviews. So we don't know if it's iTunes related, person related, or what have you. But either way, I want to give thanks for everyone who left a 5-star review. I do thank you for those who left a actual review. Let me read them out to you and give them thanks. Our first one is someone by the name of Burn the Artist. This person writes, "I just found these guys through a local contact, and it's been real fun seeing, or rather hearing them grow. the last few shows have been great. Well, thank you, Bern. Next up is Josh and BK. Again, this is from a couple of months ago. Long Coat Mafia gives geekdom a good name. I love this podcast. It's great look. It's a great look into a world most of us only get media highlights of. The person's name is Josh from Our America. I think that's a show, another podcast on iTunes. Josh is from another podcast called Our America on iTunes. Check them out. I think I listened to that particular show on iTunes, and it's a very interesting show. Check them out. I think they do good work, and I think it's an animal rescue show. So, and it's a fun show to listen to. Next one up is titled. Oh, by the way, the burn that you're able to title the reviews on iTunes. Burn the artist's title was fun. Josh and BK's title was so fun. Next up is Love That Opening Theme by Big Brother B. His review is Keep Up the Good Work. Thank you, Big Brother B. Next up is by @HaroldHree. His title is Great Show, 5 stars. And he writes, I really enjoy this show, which covers a terrific number of pop culture topics. You can tell the show goes all out to entertain and inform the audience. Thank you, Harold. Pleasure to hear from you. And last but not least, this came in a couple of days ago. It's titled, I'm Geeking Out. It's by AJ1. She writes, well, the person's name is in the review, and it is a he. And the review is, love the passion on this show. I now consider myself a honorary geek. Welcome to the PDC, Anthony Hayes. And for those who don't know, I mentioned Anthony a couple shows ago. I think it was our September 30th show. He runs the Podcast Discovery channel, I think it is, or Podcast Discovery Community, on Facebook, and it's a wonderful podcasting community. It's a great way to meet people and get hints and tricks and so forth and so on in regards to podcasts and the podcasting community. I do recommend listening to that show if you are wondering what it takes to be a podcaster. But next up, before I continue, it's kind of a mixture of an apology, a rare apology you'll hear on coming from me in regards to the show, because I'm normally straightforward with what I say, and I back up a lot of what I say and the statements of what I say, but I believe I somehow might have miscommunicated an offer or along those lines. I didn't get any negative feedback, but I still believe that in a way I led to a deception on my part. So that's why that I am apologizing right now. I am sorry for it. And the reason for that is because about a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks, I posted up on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast, a story involving Xbox Live Xbox Live and Microsoft offering a free weekend of Xbox Live Gold. That's not where the deception might have came in. They were actually having a gold weekend, but along with that, they offered up Borderlands, the Handsome Jack Collection, which is a two-game type deal, which contains Borderlands 2 and Borderlands the prequel, and all the DLC that came with those releases when they were individual titles. But the deception that I believe that I was a part of was that, and everything that I read and everything that I relate to you, our listeners, on our page and on our Twitter, was that this was a free game, and that everything that I got out of it said that this was a free game, yours to keep, period. I had a little bit of a doubt because a few months prior, Destiny, the original game for Destiny, was reported to be quote-unquote free as well. It was just the original game, no frills, and it turned out to be a over-glorified demo from Bungie/Activision. And I just chalked it up to it being Bungie and Activision being a dick, and Destiny being Destiny, which, for those who don't know, for a while, the longest while, Destiny had a history of being overly deception, dishing out deceptive tactics, meaning that, oh, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, and yet they did either A, B, and C, saying that, oh, we're going to increase how our weapons deal damage, yet they, instead of saying, oh, it's going to be a 3% increase, it was a 0.03 increase, so forth and so on. In essence, they had that history of lying. But with the Handsome Jack collection being put out by Gearbox and 2K, I figured there's no way Gearbox and 2K and the history in regards to Borderlands, this was going to happen. Turns out, Monday morning, not so much Monday morning, that evening, I decided, you know what, I got the game, I'm going to play it. I played it a little bit on Saturday and a little bit on Friday when I got home from work. Most of all, I got the time, I'm going to really sit down and dive back into this game because I really enjoyed Borderlands 2 and the prequel. And turns out, I didn't have rights to play the game anymore. Meaning, like all digital downloads, you were given a... when you download it, if you actually looked at the files downloaded, you're given like a little file that, in essence, tells either the computer or the console that this game is bought and paid for. You're allowed to play the game freely in all aspects. Apparently, Microsoft decided this was a free game only for the weekend, and those who had it, the rights to the game got pulled as of maybe Monday morning, which I am personally blaming Microsoft for, because this is a lot of what happens with corporate legalese, is that they could say stuff that's legitimately vague or word it in a way that the bulk of the press, and which includes the show, could say, hey, it's free, and legitimately it is free to download, free to play for a few days, but if they leave out a chunk like, oh, it's only free for the weekend, but after, we did say, they could legitimately say, it was free for the weekend, but now you actually have to pay for it. The downside to a lot of stuff, which most of you, our listeners, should be aware of now, with digital downloads, is that, or I should say, brings up that question that if you buy something, well, if you legitimately buy something that's a digital download, like a movie or a game, it's yours. You bought that. But I'm talking about some of the stuff that's given for free, with either it be a game with gold or a PS4 membership, free game, that I want to include Steam on this, but I don't want to include Steam on this. But might as well toss the PC gamers in that too. That if you get a free game, that service within a day or so could say, "Hey, it's no longer free. You now have to pay for it and legitimately own it, even though we did offer it for free." And when players might complain, "Oh, it was only free for the weekend or free that month. Now, if you legitimately like it and played it, yeah, we want money for it." But that's been a topic, I think, that's been floating around a lot of the hardcore gamers over the past several years since this free game with gold and free game offerings have been going around. I did have, because at the time, the Handsome Jack collection was being offered for $24, which was, when I checked the used game market in my area, it was about $6 cheaper in some cases, and in other cases, it was exactly a dollar cheaper to get it online than buy a physical copy. But I did buy it. I did have the money for it. And I've been playing it a little bit. I've been getting back into it again. I will say that it's a good game. It's like a lot of the games that have been coming out. Like, I haven't played it, but I'm going to include it in the list. BioShock, Dead Island, and a lot of the games that are like that are coming out. I think even Skyrim is like that right now, that they're remastering a lot of these games for the new console, the current console generation, which includes the PS4, the Xbox One / S. But a lot of people, I noticed, like myself, I noticed the graphical improvement in Borderlands 2, but not so much in the prequel, because it came out on both systems when it did come out a few years ago. But both play exactly the same way they did when they initially came out. A lot of things that you got trophies and or achievements for, you still get. But the benefits for the Handsome Jack collection is that you get all the DLC. I didn't notice any of the skins that might have been released that came out during that time. I know that there were, my memory serves, there were a lot of golden key codes for new skins that came out, but they're not included in this, or there were a lot of codes, or you could buy new avatar character skins. I don't see that list, notice that in the game. But what I did notice is thus, at least with Borderlands 2 so far, is that all the golden keys I collected for my 360 version of the game transferred over to the Handsome Jack collection for Borderlands 2, which is wonderful. It's beautiful. It's one of the things like I said, and my apology, that Gearbox and 2K tends to do so well, is that stuff that you don't expect to happen, it happens. Like, I wasn't expecting my golden keys to transfer over, and yet there they were, at least for Borderlands 2. I haven't gotten that far in the prequel to see if my keys for the prequel have transferred over, because there were two different codes for Borderlands 2 and for the Borderlands prequel. I will also say this too, because I played a little bit of the prequel and a little bit more of the sequel, is that for those who have not played any of the Borderlands sequels, or the prequel, I should say the prequel or the sequel, is that they have this aspect of the game called a badass rank. And meaning that in the game, if you do certain challenges, like jump up and down 50 times, you get a badass rank. Or you collect 50 weapons, you get a badass rank. So forth and so on. And you're able to turn in, when you hit a certain rank, you get like 2 tokens or 3 tokens, and each token you're able to improve your character in some way, either increased gun accuracy or increased health, better shields, more ammo, more damage done with a weapon, or melee, or longer sprint time, so forth and so on. Both the badass rank for the prequel and the sequel transferred over. And I think my badass tokens that I had that transferred over to the sequel was like 132 or something like that. And the tokens that transferred in the prequel were 109, 110, something like that. Which, again, it was one of those things that surprised me. I was expecting to start from scratch. I didn't mind to start from scratch again, but I had this. There was a pre-order little thing that came with at least the sequel. You got that right away, which was, I think, a little bit extra cash and 3 or 4 weapons, which is great. Same humor, same. I do recommend Borderlands if you could find it cheap enough, or getting a used copy, because I don't think it's on sale anymore. I do recommend it. This was, I think, more so a Microsoft issue than a Borderlands issue or a Gearbox issue. So I apologize for the deception. If you guys were excited and downloaded the game, I'll take the hit for this one. But to kind of move on, something a little bit more cheerful. This past Thursday, I was allowed to leave work early with a couple of buddies, co-workers of mine. We left. We looked at the time. We all realized that it was roughly 8:45. We all decided, we thought that we think we can make the current showing, or the second showing of Doctor Strange, the current Marvel movie has been released this November. Official release was November 4th. So I'll say that we said, all right, let's go, let's have fun. None of us had the $10, so we saw it at a. It's going to come out wrong, but the theater that we saw it at, I mean no disrespect to the theater whatsoever. I'll give them their credit. It's the Berkeley Theater here in Martinsburg, West Virginia. And they are a, what I lovingly call an El Cheapo theater. They're not a $2 theater. They're not a dollar theater or something like that. They, when compared to a major movie chain like Regal or what have you, where when you go to the movie to see of your choice, you're paying $10, $15 to see it. The buckets of popcorn are $10 a piece. The large sodas are $8 a piece, and you wind up paying $40 to see whatever movie you chose, and you just have like a small popcorn and a shot glass full of soda. But with Berkeley Theater, they don't sponsor us in any way, shape, or form. I'm just giving them a shout out. Their matinees are about $5. Everything that's not a matinee, I think, is like $7, $6, $7. And I've told people I've gone to see a matinee movie at this theater with $20 in my pocket, and I've paid for my admission, gotten a large drink, small popcorn, nachos, and candy, and had change left over. And that's the truth. So it's a nice theater. They were a $4 theater for matinees, I think before 4 o'clock, and a $6 for everything past 4 o'clock. But recently they upgraded to the aspect of digital, and they remodeled they redid the floors, and they got new seats in. So the increase in price was more than justified. They don't do 3D films, but when you're there, you feel welcome. It's family-owned. They've been in the area for more than 20 years. And I've told people this is the type of theater that if they did a Godzilla movie marathon or a Kung Fu marathon on some Saturday, I would literally wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning just to be there by 6 to watch all these geeky movies. And I hope to God they do that one of these days, because I'd be there. I'd be first in line waiting, because it would be so awesome to be in that type of theater watching these types of movies, because that's what I would love to see. That's the presence I get, and the essence I get from that theater is that old school theater. So I did to move on to that. Like I said, I saw Doctor Strange. To give you my rating right now, I'm giving it a strong, very strong 7 out of 10. I'll say this, it was very good. I'm not a big Doctor Strange fan. I know of the character. I know a little bit of the origin of Doctor Strange. What I know of Doctor Strange is very little from the comics. There is a 2007 animated film that was put out. It's currently on Hulu right now. You could find it on Hulu. It's called Doctor Strange. It mirrors, or I should say, the current movie with Benedict Cumberbatch. Mirrors both. Both mirror each other. So you got some differences. As always with animation, they are able to do a hell of a lot more than what they can do with live action. And Benedict plays in this live action current version. He is Doctor Strange. Literally, he is that character. He looks like him. I'm not familiar with the character itself in reference to humor and that aspect. The folks at Disney/Marvel chose very well in regards to this character. Movie was done as an origin story. I'm sure there was a lot of Easter eggs that I've missed, but there is. I'm sure there is. I'll probably post it on our Facebook page. What can I say? The visual aspects of it were very stunning, but they were also a hindrance. You saw some of it in the trailers. It was, as one person described, it's kind of like an acid trip. And that's could put off a lot of people in some ways. I don't mean that in a bad way, but it can hinder a lot of people. I didn't see Inception, but I kind of saw bits and pieces of it. It's kind of like Inception in some aspects of how everything bends, and it's reality warping and everything else. It can turn a lot of people off, and there was aspects that this didn't seem like a Marvel comic book movie. It seemed more of a drama with comic booky feel to it. I do recommend seeing it. You're not going to get a Deadpool type movie out of this. You're not going to get an Ant-Man type deal. This is something completely different. But it was an enjoyable watch. I do recommend going out to see it. See it at least once. I was very pleased. If you want to watch watch the animated version that came out in 2007 by Lionsgate Films, just catch it on Hulu. You could probably watch it on Hulu online, or if you have Hulu Plus, you could watch it on all major devices, including your computer, your console, your TV, Blu-ray player, tablet, whatever. Let's see, what else? Oh, yes. In December, again, I apologize to Matt on this, because I should have been promoting it a little bit more. In about a month, we will be at Matt Burns' little Winter Comic and Pop Culture Wonderland in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. Just go to the website, Four State RetroCon. And it'll come up. He has an awesome, awesome guest list this year. Let me read off some of the people that's going, the whole guest list. And the panels dropped for Saturday. Since it's still a month out, as far as I know, these are the people that are going to be showing up at the Winter Pop Culture and Comic Con, Wonderland Comic Con. December 3rd and 4th. I don't know the ticket prices. Let me bring up the website right now. I want to say the tickets are like $15. Let's see here. The website's 4statecon.com, and it's loading up right now. Frontier internet is sucky real, real bad. And I apologize right now for that little hum you hear. It's a little chilly here at the safe house. So therefore, great. Don't tell me. Oops, there it is. It just took a while. Yeah, no, it's not perfect. Okay. The tickets for the event can be gotten online at Brown PaperTickets.com. If you go to the website, it'll direct you. When you click on tickets, it'll send you straight to Brown Paper Tickets, and you're able to order online. Or you could buy the tickets at the event. Kid admission for Saturday only is $5. Kid admission only for Sunday is $5. Adult admission for Sunday only is $7. Kid admission is for kid admission 2-day pass is $7. 2 days. That's right, folks. $7 for 2 days. Cannot beat that. Adult admission for Saturday only is $8. Now, adult admission for 2 days. 2 days. 2 days. $10. I'm not kidding you. $10 for 2 days. So, spend the extra $3, go 2 days, enjoy yourself, have a great day out. There are no VIP passes. There's no additional fees for will call, according to Brown Paper Tickets, but it's the location for this is the Cosmic Skate and Play at 11870 Buchanan Trail East in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, December 3rd and 4th. This show, the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, will have a booth there so you can come and say hello. But the guest list, I'm getting ahead of myself here. The guest list for this event, first off, is Amber Dawn Fox. She played Officer Bello in season 4 or 5 of The Walking Dead. Next up, we have Jeff Parzario. He was the White Ranger in Power Rangers Dino Thunder. Next up is Kevin Tunar. He was the... I'll get proper pronunciations for everybody I interview at the show when I'm at the show. But Kevin played the Blue Ranger in Power Rangers Dino Thunder. Next up is John Morton. He was in Star Wars Empire Strikes Back as Dak Relter and the Bespin Boba Fett. Next up is Jim Krutt. He was in the 1978 version of Dawn of the Dead. He was the helicopter zombie. With a lot of the promos, he's the one that, either way, you'll see when you get them, he's going to be there. Next up is Eugene Clark. He was the Big Daddy zombie from Land of the Dead, a.k.a. the lead zombie in that movie, the one with the brains, or the smarter zombie in that movie. Next up is Nalini Kristan. She was in Star Wars Attack of the Clones. Her character name is Baris Offrey. Next up is Jim Tavari. He was one of the folks that worked at the hotel in Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. And he was also in the show, the reality TV show, Last Comic Standing. And next up we have Santiago Criollo. He played Julio in Season 4 of The Walking Dead. Next up, we have Thomas Duffy. He was in Jurassic Park, Lost World, Independence Day, Varsity Blues, and Super 8. Next up, we have, granted, all the people that I've listed so far, here's the first person that you might not notice either the face or the name. Unlike the other people that you might recognize the face but not know the name, this person, like I said, you might not know either. But you will know, a lot of you out there might know her voice because she is a voice actor who did voices on Jim and the Holograms and on the original series of Transformers. Next up, the one, the only WWE Hall of Famer, King Kong Bundy. This is going to be a if I could get a chance to interview King Kong Bundy, it would be awesome. Next up is Jeremy Palko. He played Andy in Walking Dead Season 6. Next up, we have Michelle Knotts. Again, this is another voice actor. You won't recognize who she is by her face, but or the name, but you would recognize her voice because she voiced Jesse from Team Rocket in some of the later versions of Pokemon, and she also voiced some of the Pokemon in the show, like Squirtle and a few more. Next up is Felix Silla. He's a short actor. I don't mean short. He's like I don't want to say him. He's a little person. Literally a little person. He's a vertically challenged adult. He played. I'll put it like that. I'll get the proper term if I'm able to interview Felix. I'll get the proper terminology from him because those who are vertically challenged do not like to be called certain words. But he played. He was the person who played the original Cousin It in the Adams Family original series. I don't know if he played Cousin It in the newer movies, but he was in, I think he was in Star Wars 2 as maybe one of the Ewoks, and he was also in the original Buck Rogers. And next up, we have Lori, I butchered her name so bad, but she was in American, I don't know if she's been in all the American Horror Stories, but she was in, I think, Coven. Next up we have another, this was just recently announced, Gene Snitsky. He's a former WWE wrestler. He currently is wrestling through the indie wrestling circuit. Excuse me. I just burped for a second. That's why I said that. He's also, I think, he's also an actor too. An upcoming indie movie release. We'll get, if I'm able to speak with him, I'll get some questions answered and so forth and so on. Next up and lastly is Eliza Jane. She's a model. She was also in a couple of reality TV shows such as Ghost Hunters and a few more. Next up, as Matt announced, he announced the panels that were going to be at least for Saturday. He didn't announce the Sunday as of this. The guest list that I just read to you, they have, again, no cancellations as of yet. We still have a month to go. Shit does happen. So any of these guests could cancel for whatever reason. But we hope, as far as I know, they haven't yet. But again, for the panels on Saturday. Again, Matt did not release any information for panels that were going to be on Sunday. These are panels that are Saturday only. At 1 p.m. Is going to be a cosplay panel with Sharon Rose and Kaylee Marie as the hosts. They will be able to answer a good many of your questions if you're an up-and-coming cosplayer or just need general tips and tricks. At 2 p.m. is the Pokemon Multiverse Theory, hosted by Chris Smith. I'm hoping that this is a very... even though I'm manning a booth, this is one I would love to listen to. I could hope I could get a recording with this, because it should be very, very interesting if it's not a very visual panel. I'll speak to, if not Matt, I'll speak to Chris, see if I can set up a little bit early and get this recorded. At 3 p.m., When Dinos Attack, a look at how dinos and humans mix in the worlds of Power Rangers and Jurassic Park, with guests Jeff Parazzo and Kevin Duhaney from Power Rangers Dino Thunder series, and Thomas F. Duffy from The Lost World Jurassic Park 2. And that panel is going to be hosted by us. And that panel, I know for a fact, we are going to be recording, and we will be dropping that. I'm not sure, but that's going to be dropped in December. Next up is at 4 p.m. is the panel called In a Galaxy Far, Far Away. This is brought to you in part by comicbooked.com. The description for this panel is: comicbooked.com presents a panel with Star Wars, hosted by Aaron Cutler of comicbooked.com, talking with John Morton from Empire Strikes Back, Nalini Kristen from Attack of the Clones, and Felix Sela from Return of the Jedi, all about their place in movie history with this amazing franchise, which is awesome. There are two more panels for Saturday. I was wondering what that high-pitched whine was. It's my drink. But let's go back to that. The 5 p.m. panel is the Walking Dead Survivors panel. It's hosted by Captain Kyle. He talks with Santiago Cirillo, Amber Dawn Fox, and Jeremy Palko about their experiences and memories on The Walking Dead, as well as being alive during the outbreak, and maybe some insight on their characters moving forward since we did not actually see them die off. Are they still out there? Come in and find out. At 6 p.m., it's the Pokemon DS party. Bring your own Nintendo DS and play head-to-head with Michael Knotts. The Pokemon 3DS party panel will be held next door at the Wheeling. All these panels will be held at the Wheeling Dealing Industries. Bring your own DS. There you'll be able to. There's more than this. Do you like Pokemon? I mean, come on, who doesn't? So where can you go to get your anything and everything Pokemon fix at your all-time favorite place to be at a convention? A Pokemon Nintendo DS party, of course. Join voice actress for Jessie in Pokemon, Michelle Knotts, and all-around Pokemon expert Chris Smith for games, fun, contests, prizes, battles, sing-alongs, and so forth. So much more. Trade with other Poke fans, learn about breeding and battling, and play some awesome fun games for amazing prizes. If you're a fan of Pokemon, and we know you are, you won't want to miss this panel. Don't forget to bring your Nintendo DS for special prizes. Finally, a panel where bringing your 3DS is required. Performed by Michelle Knotts and Chris Smith. A little bit more about this. Again, I'm going to have to speak to Chris and probably Aaron Cutler in regards to leaving my setup or the show setup on the table for 3 hours, because as that way I get three panels. This will be up to Chris. And Chris Smith, and it'll be up to Aaron Cutler if I'm able to do this. This hinges on their permission to let me do this and post their panels as well, because I would love to. As much as I would love to include the Walking Dead panel, I do not want to step on Captain Kyle's shoes. He is a YouTuber. Search him up on YouTube. He does his own interviews, so I do not want to step on his toes whatsoever. I'm sure he'd allow it too, but I don't want to. Professional courtesy. in that regards, that's why I'd rather, you know, ask the other two guys, you know, the bookends to our panel. So, and what I do is I'll set the equipment up, record for the 3 hours, let it run. When everything's said and done, come back. When everything's said and done, all three panels are recorded, have the software encode it, and when it's time to post everything and the whole event is done and time to do what I do best at the end of the day and get everything ready for you, our listeners, to listen to it, is that I'll do the same thing what I did with the Chocolate Fest, is pretty much sit down with this 3 hour chunk of audio, separate Chris Smith's the Pokemon panel from everything, make that its own episode. Separate our panel from the chunk, make it its own episode, and same thing with the comicbook.com panel, make that its own episode. And with everything, I'm hoping to get at least five. That's with our panel, to get five interviews over the course of the day, which will probably happen. If I get more, if everybody's energetic, it'll be five. If not, it may be four. But I'm hoping, I have lots of homework to do in regards to get everything for this event. And for at least you guys, to meet and greet with you guys, to talk to you guys. because I don't have much more right now to tell you guys. We might have a brief little hostful this upcoming week. I have to see again. But after that, I do have one small treat. What I'm going to do is I am going to provide in this podcast for the International Podcast Day. I put together a little bit of a 35-second promo piece, and I'm going to include it with this episode. I'll pause for maybe about a second or two, provide the little advert, and I'll right next to it, I'll put a little bit of another pause, and it'll be the ending. That way, if you want to, you could always edit out that little advert and include it and share it and so forth and so on. And that's about it. I got nothing more other than if you want to contact us. Oh, yes. One final thing. Before I forget, I want you guys to weigh in on a versus this week. I didn't do a versus last month, but I'll do it this month. And I want to include you, our listeners, in on it. And that is a little something for the Star Trek fans out there, and a little something for the old school Stargate SG-1 fans out there. I'm putting you two geeks, types of geeks and fanboys and fangirls together to butt heads. And that is the versus is going to be Star Trek's The Borg, infamous Borg, versus Stargate SG-1's The Replicators, one-on-one, mano-a-mano, hive mind versus hive mind. Tell me who would win and why. So if you want to say who would win and why, you could always email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com and give us your response and who would win and why. Or if you want to email us to tell us how we're doing, give us critiques and so forth and so on, topics. We will read them on air, and if we get a whole crap ton in, we will make a special episode about it. Or if you want to leave a message for us on our Facebook page, and you can, while you're there, you can like us on Facebook. And as always, like I said earlier, our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. And while there, you could leave us a message on who would win the fight if you didn't send us an email. Our Twitter is LongCoatMafia. Our Instagram is also LongCoatMafia. You could always follow us on Twitter and Instagram by clicking follow on those social media sites. If you're listening to us via iTunes and you liked and subscribed to us on iTunes, thank you. Or if you're not an Apple person, we do have if you're listening to this, I am saying this so wrong. If you're listening to us on our website, thank you so much for doing so. If you want to listen to us on the go to make things easier for you, we do offer two choices for you. One is if you're an Apple person and you like using iTunes, we are on iTunes. You could subscribe to us on iTunes. While you're there, rate and review us. As you heard at the start of the show, we will, once we get a few more rates and reviews in, we will read those reviews on air. But if you're an Android fan person and you like Androids, and even though you might not use the the risk taking Samsung Galaxy S7s, we are on Google Play Music for all of you who use Androids. But I must say this, if you want to hear, because iTunes and Google Play Music limit to the number of shows total that you could go back to is 20, which means if this is episode, let's say, 75, you could only go up to back to episode 55. But if you want to hear anything past that, like our Crow panel or our original panel that we did for the 4-State Retro and Pop Culture Con this past April, when we did the Good versus Evil Power Rangers panel, you might have to go to our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. But remember, our show, as you probably heard, is not really safe for work. So listen, if you do listen to us at work, please be courteous, listen with headphones. But for now, take care. I'm out. We'll speak to you again. We have a lot of stuff in the works over the next couple of weeks. So, who knows what's going to happen. Thank you. Here is the advert and the end of the show. Thank you. Hello, I am the Reverend Godfather, the main host and frontman for the Long Coat Mafia podcast, which is available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music, and our website, thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, with new episodes being dropped every Monday containing geek-related topics, social commentary, interviews, convention panels, creepypastas, and more. At the end of the show, you may be asking others,
what's your geek?
It's shocking, humiliating, and it's unacceptable.
Oh, come on. It's a classic. The only show in the world that gets better the more it's rerun.
Do I get a choice?
No! No!
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.